God will wipe every tear away from their eyes. Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. My name's Bob. This is podcast number 80. It's February 28, 2015. Well, today, you know, when it's all over, all tears will be wiped away. But it's not over yet. The tears flow, and ours must be joined with Him. From Voice of the Martyrs, Open Doors, and International Christian Concern, I give you these reports today. At least 90 Christians have been abducted in raids on Christian villages in Syria. Now, you know it's serious when the secular media gets a hold of these stories, too, and I'm sure you've heard about this already. Just before dawn on Monday, February 23rd, ISIS fighters entered the Assyrian Christian villages outside of Tal Tamar in Syria's Hasaka region. More than 90 men, women, and children were taken from the villages and are believed to still be held by ISIS. As many as 4 churches have been destroyed and over 3,000 have fled their homes following the assault on the Christian villages along the Khabur River. "We fell asleep in total quiet. Nothing was going on," a woman who had fled Tal Amar with her 4 young kids said. "We woke up to the sound of clashing. We didn't know what it was until we saw that everyone in the camp was fleeing because ISIS had entered the village." Initial reports stated that the men were taken by the fighters to the Abd al-Aziz Mountains, while the women and children were left in the village, guarded by ISIS militants. Steve Oshana, executive director of a Demand for Action, told International Christian Concern on Monday. Sources of the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights reported overhearing ISIS fighters say that they had detained 56 crusaders from Tai Shamim Ram. Additional reports of abductions pushed that number to between 70 and 100, according to Nuri Kino, founder of the ADFA, a Demand for Action, with some reports as high as even 200 abducted. On Tuesday, it was being reported that the hostages had now been moved to the Al-Shadadi village. Osama Edward, director of the Assyrian Human Rights Network, told ICC. "Most of the hostages are women, the elderly, and children," Edward said. "In fact, mostly women, as many of the young men were fighting with the militias that are trying to defend these areas," he continued. Residents immediately started to flee the area, hoping to make it to the Kurdish-held city of Hasaka, 40 miles away, or to Kamishli, 60 miles away, along the Turkish-Syrian border. About 3,000 people are believed to have fled the Tal Tamar region, finding rides in private cars. Some were able to get buses to the area to drive people out of their villages. Hundreds are taking refuge in the St. Mary Church in Hasaka and the St. Ephraim Church in Kamishi, AINA reported. The cluster of around 35 Assyrian villages along the Khabur River had been home to between 40 and 45,000 Christians prior to 2011. Estimates were now that the remaining population was closer to 3,000 before these latest attacks forced entire villages to evacuate. Large amounts of rain actually may have prevented the attack from being even more deadly. In summertime, you can cross the river, but the past 3 or 4 weeks have seen a lot of rain, so ISIS was able to attack the villages just on one side of the river. A number of churches have also been destroyed by ISIS during these raids. The church in Tel Hermes, one of the oldest churches in Syria, was destroyed, as well as the Assyrian Mar Bisho Church in Tel Shamiran, the church in Khabur Shamli, and the church in Tel Balua, Assyrian activists are reporting. Pictures published by ANA appear to show smoke rising from the Mar Bisho Church in Tel Shamiran. The destruction of these church buildings comes just a few weeks after ISIS fighters had entered the village of Tel Hormizd and forced the residents to remove the cross from the church and to pay the jizya tax or face death. The raid on these Christian villages comes in response to gains that had been made in a joint operation between the Syriac Military Council and the Kurdish YPG militias against the barbaric ISIS organization in Tal Hamis frontline. The result of this operation led to the liberation of 22 villages from ISIS control. The victories in those villages seemed to be what prompted the counterattack on the civilians in the villages surrounding Tal Tamer. The MFS said that at least 3 of its fighters had been injured and 4 were missing, believed to have been martyred, but their bodies had not yet been recovered. This area also is the site of a key bridge across the Khabur River. Strategically, this bridge is the target in what the fighting is concerned with capturing, because control of this bridge gives control of the entire region, Edward said. It's used by the army to move supplies and food. Initial reports implied that ISIS was holding the men hostage in exchange for fighters held by the Kurds. One of the villagers called the cell phone of one of the captives, and an ISIS fighter picked up. He made clear that their demands were for the release of ISIS fighters held by Kurdish forces. Subsequent attempts to contact those taken have largely been unsuccessful, with some fighters answering the phone and saying there's nothing that can be done about their situation. The taking of hostages also provides an element of protection from airstrikes and direct intervention. Edward told ICC, they now form a human shield, preventing a Syrian army or coalition airstrike in this area. These latest attacks have once again raised the call for international assistance to help protect the Christian and other minority populations in Iraq and Syria that have been explicitly targeted by ISIS and other Islamic terrorist groups operating in the region. The recent violence against the Assyrian Christian communities in Khabur is only the latest in an escalating campaign of violence against these indigenous people. The siege of Mosul was just the beginning. Soon the Nineveh Plains, the cradle of civilization, fell to the hands of the Islamic State. Now the very presence of Christianity in Syria is threatened by this siege, Oshana said in a statement to ICC. While the United States and other countries were engaged in airstrikes to roll back the presence of ISIS in Iraq and Syria, there are clear calls for more to be done to get direct support to those providing security on the ground. A demand for action has secured legislation to support local security for these vulnerable communities, which the president has signed into law. We'll continue to work towards the development of large-scale local security forces comprised of these vulnerable minorities to join the fight to eradicate the region of this cancer called IS, Oshana continued. As ISIS has shown in its actions in eastern Syria over just the past 48 hours, Christians, and the presence of the cross are among what they are seeking to eradicate from any of the lands that they control. Okay, well, that's very current, very much in the news. The last time we reported, we talked about the Coptic Christians in Libya, 21 of them beheaded. This article was written by a Christian leader in Egypt in the aftermath of that beheading. He quotes Jesus, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, Matthew 5:44. I stand in awe before the one who once taught us to love beyond what is reasonable according to human logic. By teaching these words, our Lord Jesus has truly introduced a new hope to humans that didn't exist before. Hatred is obviously embedded into the human nature since the fall of mankind, described in Genesis 3. However, Jesus' call to show love and forgiveness to enemies and persecutors caused victory over that fallen nature. The Egyptian church is praying for the Islamic State, the ISIS terrorists, who recently beheaded 21 Coptic Christians in Libya. These martyrs refuse to deny their faith to stay alive. The sound of prayers requesting mercy and life, not revenge and destruction, calling on God's name to come and change the hearts of the killers, is loudly heard across Egypt. Some of the heartbroken wives, mothers, fathers, and children of the martyrs were recently interviewed in national and private-run television talk shows about what they are going through. Simple expression of love and forgiveness brought down so many tears on air and surely delivered a mind-blowing message about what the Christian faith is all about. No more direct testimony about God's love could have been communicated publicly as those few words that were uttered by the family members of the 21 martyrs. The spirit of anger has turned into a fervent wave of prayers for God to change the hearts of Islamic State's fighters and to open their eyes from deception and darkness to the amazing light of the love of God. Egyptian pastors are calling their congregations to wake up and pray for the persecutors of the church to come to meet with the Savior. We pray that God will remove their stone hearts reflected in their inhumane actions and give them hearts of flesh and blood capable of loving. Calls for prayer in all cities, towns, and villages for Christians to meet together and cry out, not just for our own safety or leisure, but for the salvation of the lost. That's indeed historical. The voices coming out of the church only a few days after the dreadful massacre had taken place in Libya is amazingly not a sound of weeping, but the sound of singing and salvation. We, the Christians of Egypt, believe that the prayers and intercession of the Egyptian church were heard by the Almighty and that our country has been protected from chaos and past threats. We therefore realize how we should continue to stand in the gap for our country and the entire troubled region of the Arab world against the wicked warfare of the kingdom of evil. We stand to pray together, not allowing the evil one to pass through our country. A pastor shouted a few days ago in a prayer meeting in Cairo, "Our Father listens to us as we cry His name day and night. We'll see the flags of your love and the gospel of peace waving high in our land. We'll see His amazing work invading and changing the lives of people we never thought would ride on the cloud with us." The pastor continued sharing some great news. "Last week, I had the privilege of meeting with two former terrorists who were directly involved in killing Christians for their faith. The Lord changed their hearts, and they're now preaching the gospel and serving the Lord." Oh, wow. Now, that's news. I'm not sure you're going to hear that on CNN. Cuba, can we come over to our hemisphere? Yeah, it's still in our hemisphere. Not far from our shores, persecution in Cuba is still a reality. This is from Voice of the Martyrs. "Although recent reports seem to indicate many improvements for those living in Cuba, its government still severely restricts the freedom of its people, including Christian worship. Under the guise of committing anti-government activities, the son of a pastor is now detained in a military prison. Accused of writing a song against the government, Gabriel Leyva, age 19, is now being held in a military prison with little recourse. He was arrested with only 4 months to go in his mandatory military service. VOM workers say that the allegations are baseless and that his arrest is directly related to his family's evangelical Christian activities and effective ministry efforts in their current city. VOM contacts say that this church has been well received by the community and is a powerful blessing. When Gabriel's father learned of his son's detainment, he went to the military prison to visit with his son. Guards posted in the room jumped to cover Gabriel's mouth when he began telling his father he was innocent. He wasn't allowed to speak for the remainder of the visit. The Cuban government discourages any sort of dissent and views evangelical Christians with scorn, especially those from unregistered churches. Pastors and their families are especially vulnerable, and many have faced beatings, had their property seized, destroyed, or both, and even faced imprisonment as a result. While long-term prison sentences are less frequent than in the past, short-term arrests have increased in the last year. Between January and August 2014, one independent human rights organization received 7,000 reports of arbitrary detentions, up from 2,900 reports during the same time period in 2013. Many were taken into detention centers for counter-revolutionary actions. There were at least 7 reported incidents this past year in which evangelical Christians were arrested, some while they were in the middle of preaching. While Gabriel's imprisonment is not unique, the military prison venue is. Most Christians who are arrested are placed in one of more than 200 prisons or labor camps on the island, which lump Christians with human rights defenders, political dissidents, and other criminals without distinction. Almost all find themselves treated with contempt, severe forms of punishment, poor nutrition, and inadequate medical care. His parents are unsure how Gabriel is faring, but they fear he is being beaten and coerced into making confessions. While more freedoms are being granted to the citizens of Cuba, the country is still shrouded by years of communist rule and an authoritarian government. Though there are constitutional protections for religious freedom, churches are heavily monitored, and their activities are dictated by strict laws and policies. Active government surveillance also means that the children of pastors, like Gabriel Leva, can be detained with little or no evidence. Those who have thriving Christian ministries in Cuba risk even their own freedom and the freedom of their children for the privilege of sharing Christ with others. So there you have it, the same players week after week: Islam, the communists, and there are other players in the world who hate the message of Jesus. I trust that you will take some time on your seventh day today, whether you consider it a holy day or just a day to kick back and rest a little while from your labors from the week. Would you take some of that time on behalf of this brother in Cuba and our brothers and sisters in Syria, the Assyrians, and those people in Egypt? Isn't that wonderful? The ones who are coming to Christ out of ISIS. Yeah, don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. That's what our battle is all about. And don't forget, when it's all over, Revelation 21:4, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.